how about that intro music? Absolutely. What a way to start off episode 2 of From the Nosebleeds. Thomas Pokernik.
Thomas Coburn.
Yeah, we're here for you. Looking to build on what I think was a pretty good episode 1.
Yes, I thought so. I just need to build on it and improve each week. How about that?
I thought you kept your filter in check and you didn't misbehave too much, which is something that I think I'm really going to struggle with this podcast. But
I don't know how I feel about that comment, but whatever.
Comment, I don't know how you're going to feel about this comment either. I beat you in fantasy this week. So
yeah,
that's a good way to start off the podcast.
I was missing my 1 and 2 wide receivers, Amari Cooper and Devontae
Already
Adams.
Already here with excuses.
The excuses. But yeah, no, your team played good, McCaffrey and Evans.
Where I'm getting with is I just kind of want to establish myself as the alpha on this podcast by kind of degrading you to someone who loses in fantasy to a guy like me.
Okay, so let's just let the record show that you're 5-3 and I'm 6-2.
Yeah, but the Rosen ones are going to bloom late.
Oh, you're going to come on late in the season.
We're a second half team.
I think I'm a second half team because I'm going to get Devontae Adams back.
Yeah, turf toe. I want to talk about turf toe. Good way to start off the podcast.
Turf toe.
The NFL is a sport where these guys go just battling for, you know, games are an hour long, taking hits all week in practice. We see quarterbacks get tossed by these 350-pound defensive linemen.
Akeem Hicks.
Yeah. These guys take a beating.
Yeah.
We see guys get concussions. They run to the blue tent, which... Yeah. My favorite addition to the league so far.
What are they doing there? They give him a lollipop and tell him to go back out there?
I don't know. That's such a mystery, what they do inside the blue tent. So they take such a beating. These guys overcome concussions in a week, separated shoulders in 2 weeks, and then turf toe holds out one of the best receivers in the NFL for what's he been out now? 5 weeks?
Yeah. No, 4, I think.
4 weeks? I remember it happened to A.J. Green a few years ago, too, when he was really in his prime.
Yeah.
He had turf toe. And it was just like, there you go, season ending almost.
Out of all things.
Your toe. It's crazy.
There's an injury for everybody in football. Wide receivers, they don't get hit as, especially ones on the outside. Slot receivers get killed. But if you're a wide out, that plays on the, you play on the wide, what am I saying right now? I'm just losing it. But anyways, if you're a deep threat, you don't really get hit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Not too bad.
But
you're not crossing over the middle, getting a shot from Bobby Wagner to the head, like a slot guy like Edelman.
But football makes sure that there's still the chance that you can miss a whole season.
Yeah, turf toe. There you go.
Just destroy your toe.
I beat you in fantasy, so that's my first kind of step towards my establishment of the superior podcast member. Now I want to hear about how that, what was it, an 18 parlay?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go?
Not good.
What
did I hit? I'm trying to think.
I remember you wanted Cleveland to cover, and they didn't.
No,
and
I switched my pick. You convinced me. And I picked the Patriots, so that one was good.
And that Patriots game, 17-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I said it was going to be Baker's, jokingly said, I said it was going to be Baker's last game in the NFL because it was going to be so bad, and it was. And I don't know what's going on with that Cleveland team.
Yeah.
I don't know how Freddie Kitchens is still their coach there. I can't even remember, I can't believe Odell Beckham Jr. was once considered the best receiver in football. Arguably.
Well, I never bought into that, but yeah.
He's what's he done there? Nothing.
Is it the system? I don't know, because he was good in New York, or people thought, he was good in New York, and people thought it was just a quarterback holding him back, right? They thought oh, it's Eli, he sucks.
Yeah.
But now it's Baker's not, I don't think he's that good, but he's better than Eli, so it's I don't know. But in terms of you know how you said he was the best wide receiver? Or people thought he was. I never really subscribed to that because at any point in his career, was he better than Julio Jones?
Julio's a different animal, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's
But the point I was trying to make is it was Brown, Julio, and OBJ. That was kind of your big three.
Yeah, and after Megatron retired, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's just Cleveland Browns might be, if you were to, franchises the Dolphins, the Redskins, the Jets, the ones that we know are going to be so bad, excluding them out of the conversation, I don't know a team that has more disappointment or general sadness to go along with the organization than the Cleveland Browns. Maybe the Chicago Bears, because I also think that they are just a fraud of an NFL football team.
Right now, well, okay, in terms of, like, historically, it's just Browns and Lions neck and neck for who the worst ever is. But, yeah, recently, as in terms of just this year, the Bears.
The Bears were, did they win 12 games last year? 11, yeah, 11 12, 5, 12. 12, I think. They double doinked to get knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, their offense has been so bad. This last week was the first week Matt Nagy found out he had a running back in David Montgomery, and he went for 130 rushing yards. And then again, their kicker misses two chip shots of a field goal, and they lose last
Have you seen a bigger drop-off in a coach? Like, first year, everybody thought he was a genius. And was he not up for Coach of the Year?
He won Coach of the Year last year.
Or he won it, right?
Yeah, he beat Frank Reich for Coach of the Year.
But now it's
I've
like,
never seen a bigger drop because McVay is still 5-3 this year. He still can recite the entire hour of the game in the press conference. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, McVay. There's still this, you know, the whole joke is if you shake hands with McVay, you get a job interview.
Yeah.
That trend is still going on.
Zach Taylor? Is that the Bengals coach? Is that his name?
Yeah, exactly that. What was he, the QB coach in LA or the offensive coordinator?
No, QB coach, not QB even the coach. Offensive coordinator, I can maybe understand. Yeah. But
and now he's 0-8 with the Bengals. And now they're benching your man, the Red Rifle, on his birthday.
What a birthday present.
Come on, man.
It's a pretty good gift. You don't have to play in front of that horrible offensive line.
Yeah, another
maybe
team.
Maybe ask for it.
I don't know, but...
But that Bears team, like, at the deadline, how do you just not get a quarterback? And what I mean by that is, like, that... Okay, like...
Quarterbacks aren't really something that are available trade.
Really? What about Tyrod Taylor?
You really think Tyrod Taylor is going to improve that Bears offense? Because I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, Tyrod Taylor, when he took the Bills to the playoffs, like, they didn't have some insane, like, offensive core. Like, he did pretty well that year.
Yeah, and they are similar to a team like the Bears in the sense that they have a really good defense. Their run game is something that, you know, again, top of the league.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. But, again... How does that improve the Bears? Because you got to think that the Bills were in the AFC, and the AFC, to be frank, is terrible.
Okay, but Tyrod Taylor can throw the ball to the left side of the field.
And Trubisky can't throw the ball to any side.
Yeah,
of the
but he can't throw the ball left. If you watch, he just can't. He doesn't make a throw left.
I don't know what like looking back on that. I know it's so easy to say now, oh, Watson, Mahomes. But especially Deshaun Watson, because he was a national champion.
Beat Alabama last minute play.
And he was really impressive. So I don't know how these guys get hyped. So like North Carolina, not really known as a football school. I just don't understand the decision. And I probably never will for why Trubisky. Like it's already so early. And we've seen how much better Watson and Mahomes have both been over Trubisky.
This Bears team is the biggest parody of a Bears team ever.
What do you mean by that?
Amazing defense.
Oh, like they're such...
It's just that's who the Bears are historically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing defense, quarterback who just can't do anything, and a bad kicker.
Yeah. They're just missing Mike Ditka. If Matt Nagy somehow puts together some sort of hair on his head and grows a mustache and just wears a sweater with the collar out...
Yeah.
There you go, 85 Bears. And then they just have to find a way to make the playoffs because I don't think this Bears team's going to make the playoffs.
No. Well, they're last in their division.
Yeah, and that's for a really good division. I don't know.
It's sad, you're just wasting so many great years of that Bears defense. You wasted 2 years of...
And you gave up the farm for the defense to get that good with Khalil Mack.
Like, okay, this Bears, it's the best defense in the league.
Yeah, definitely. The 49ers...
They don't have the best... Well, okay, here's the thing. They don't have the best numbers.
Because the offense is...
It's never on the field.
The offense hurts the defense.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if you replace the 49ers personnel on defense with the Bears and swap teams, the 49ers, that defense, it would be better than what it is right now.
Yeah, if you're telling me you got one drive, you need to stop, I'm taking the Bears with the 49ers.
Yeah. But they're just always so tired.
Yeah. You can't get off the field.
Like the first game of the season.
Well,
against the Packers.
That game, I think we talked about it last week. How it was just such a bad game to start the season. What was it, 10 threes, 13
yeah,
three
but
maybe?
It's so demoralizing, too. It's like, how are you supposed to hold Aaron Rodgers to 10 points and lose?
Mm-hmm. And that's been the story. Like, how is that locker room after? How's Club Dub or Club L after a game where the defense plays their hearts out, allow 10 points to one of the best quarterbacks of this generation, and you lose?
So, it's honestly, it's sad. It's sad to watch. I mean, I love it as a Lions fan. I just love seeing them implode like this. But it's like, man, you're wasting Khalil Mack along with so many other great defensive players. It's pretty brutal.
You mentioned the trade deadline, and I want to get into that because I don't know if we're the only ones who knew that the trade deadline was yesterday.
Yeah. The GMs missed it.
I think the GMs, they slept in or something. They slept past 4 o'clock in the afternoon because literally the only move of the day was an Aqib Talib salary dump to the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that team just stocked up on another draft pick.
That must suck for him. Imagine that. I mean, even though you're on the IR, it's like you still have a chance to win a ring, maybe.
Yeah, the Rams are, I think they'll make the playoffs, even though they're not in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
I think they're too talented to not get in.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to miss in the NFC because the Vikings are probably the other notable team that is kind of on the fence.
There's going to be a team that is so good that misses the playoffs this
year. Yeah, and then in the AFC, there's going to be the Bills.
The Bills are horrible. I'm sorry. They're not horrible.
I was never sold on them when they were 5-1. I watched Fitzmagic almost pick them apart.
It's like, how do you get, like, the Eagles handled them so easily, and then you look at the Eagles when they play NFC teams. Cowboys wasn't close. Like, they lost to the Lions. Like, it's like you're losing to these, the Eagles are losing to these average NFC teams, and then they play, like, one of the best AFC teams, and it's not even, like, close.
Yeah, on the road, too, and Buffalo's a tough place to play.
The discrepancy is as big as I can remember.
Yeah, I just...
There's so many good... Like, it's like, that Bears team... If the Bears team was in the AFC, like, they'd be like the Bills right now. Similar record. I honestly think that.
Yeah, I think the Bears are better than the Bills. I'll take the Bears over the Bills. But, yeah, you pointed out earlier, very, very similar teams. But where I'm really intrigued is the fact that San Francisco has a makeup similar to both the Bills and the Bears, in the sense that they're defense heavy. Their defense is so far has been the best unit in the NFL.
Yeah.
Their run game has been fantastic. We saw Tevin Coleman run for 4 touchdowns this weekend. They put up 51 points against Carolina Panthers, who, again, were considered a bubble playoff team in that NFC. And you go to look at Jimmy Garoppolo's stat line, and it's similar to what Mitch Trubisky or Josh Allen would put up.
Yeah.
He's giving you 200 yards a game, a pick, and a touchdown. I don't know what, like, and the 49ers are 8-0 or 7-0. These teams are struggling. So they have very, very similar makeup. I don't know if it's coaching, if Kyle Shanahan's really, really putting something together, or I think actually Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who does a lot that does not translate to the stat sheet. And I think he's a guy who knows how to win games. He's a Belichick QB.
Yeah. Have you seen the stat of the combined wins?
Oh, this season.
Yeah, between the Belichick. Yeah,
and only 2 losses are set.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
But here's the thing, like, about like Garoppolo and how you compared him to Trubisky's numbers. You could say he has similar numbers.
I want to hold off on that. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is Mitch Trubisky. He's much better than Mitch Trubisky.
Here's the thing. I just think Garoppolo is capable of doing more. He's just not being asked to. It's not the makeup of their team. They're just running the ball down opponents' throats, and they can't do anything about it. They just have that running back by committee who they have Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, and then one other guy, right?
They had Jerick McKinnon, but he's out for the season now.
So it's like, he's just not asked to be doing that. I think if it was like, if they had no running game and really good wide receivers or whatever, or even average wide receivers.
But they went and got Emmanuel Sanders a week before the deadline, which will help them a little bit, but he's not a guy that puts them over the top at that position.
Also, they've been leading in so many of their games.
Yeah.
So it's the whole thing about Stafford's career, where it's like he has all these numbers, but they're all inflated because they're always losing, and teams just play prevent defense, and they just racks up yards. That's never happening to Garoppolo. They're just always running the clock out.
Exactly.
Like against the Panthers. What was the score? 57-13?
51-17.
Something like that.
Kyle Allen, who's a guy who never threw a pick in his NFL career.
Yeah.
And he's played something like 5 games, I think. He went out through 3 picks. The defense was all over him. like, and the 49ers look for real. A lot of people are going after Garoppolo and saying, oh, you know, he sucks, he doesn't have these numbers, he's not my starting quarterback on my fantasy football team, so I don't think they're going to do well in the playoffs. This San Fran team, and I even doubted them earlier in the year.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and they look really good. I'm thinking, I want to get your opinion on this, because this week, Survivor Pool is tough.
It's so difficult. Because there's not one, like, blowout game I see.
This is why. The Bengals are on bye. The Dolphins play the Jets. The Redskins play the Bills. I'd be confident in the Bills in that game, but I've already used the Bills. And I really, really, I'm going to contradict myself here because I hate divisional games, especially when a team's on the road. And I hate Thursday night games because it's a short week. Anything can happen. But I think my only option is San Fran over the Cardinals.
Yeah, so that is your only option for me. I'm in a little bit of a different scenario. I've picked San Francisco, but I haven't picked the Bills. So I think I have to take the Bills. I think those are the two games you have to take.
Yeah, there's the Packers and the Chargers, too.
But they have two, like, okay.
The Chargers have...
They have too many playmakers that you can just go off and win a game.
Mm-hmm. And they just fired their offensive coordinator. Yeah. We've seen that before where a team, they lose that offensive coordinator and they just...
Yeah.
It's like a new team's out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might have to sweat it out Thursday night with Jimmy G. And I think it might be a tight one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. San Fran's defense, especially with that bad Cardinals O-line. I think that'll be a good pick.
Yeah. My whole thing with Survivor is just stay away from uncertainty. Like, that's how you lose games.
Yeah, you want, like, that sure bet, but then that's also how you get baited, because eventually, like, I'm telling you, eventually the Bengals or the Dolphins are going to win a game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to upset somebody. Look at, the Dolphins were up 14-0 over the Steelers on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
They found a way to make it look like they're not trying to tank, but still tank and lose that game, but... Reality is, I think they're going to win a game at some point, and it's not going to be against a horrible team.
Yeah. And at a certain point, you start to run out of teams too, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
Do you save teams? I don't ever save teams.
If I can, I'll tell you this. If there's a team, like if there's two games and I'm confident in both, I'll take the worst team I can use that team later.
Yeah.
But if New England's my only option, I'm like, I can't take New England because it's week two. I'm taking New England.
I picked New England week two. Was it week two?
Yeah, against the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's just like, I just think, like, get to the next week. Like, I try not to look ahead and be like, I remember the first year I played Survivor, I tried to do that. Like, oh, I planned out my first 6 weeks. It's like, why would I don't know why I ever would do that. Just get to week three, get to week four. And then from there, it's like injuries happen, whatever. And it's like matchups might look more favorable.
Yeah, they sway.
Yeah, exactly, right? Depending on injuries, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just try to get to the next week.
I just want to quickly wrap up with the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I want to do, because there were so many names that got thrown around leading up to the deadline.
A lot of running backs.
The day of, all of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell is available. Jamal Adams is available. The New York Jets Tea Lady is available. They were, like, selling their whole franchise. Yeah. I just want to know one team, and I know... From a Lions standpoint, Darius Slay was looking like he might be moved.
Yeah.
One trade that you wanted to see that didn't happen.
Okay, I'll just go with the Lions just because, whatever, that's who I was paying attention to the most. They're my favorite team, right? So I wanted them to do something, either, which is like every fan wants your team to do something, but it's either trade Slay because it doesn't look like he's going to be a part of the future. He doesn't seem too happy with management, whatever. He's been saying some comments in the media. I love the player. I don't have any bad things to say about him. But so either trade him or I wanted to see them go out and get a running back.
Because carry on, who's even your backup running back?
They just have a bunch. There's Ty Johnson. No, LeGarrette Blount's gone. There's Ty Johnson. There's, what is his name? Trey something. I don't know. It's just a big committee now.
Yeah.
So it's like, none of them are NFL... like starting caliber. They're all like, you know, it could be a third down back or whatever, but nobody. So I was like, when Le'Veon came out, I was like, I don't know what the asking price is, but even the asking price is like, whatever. It's the salary is what kills you, right? Yeah. He has a big salary. I wanted to see them go for Mixon.
Joe Mixon. You think he would? I don't know if he would be available.
Here's the thing. It's like, do the Bengals...
don't know what they're doing
exactly.
At all,
so it's like, I bet you if you made them an offer... that was pretty good. Like I think he would have been available. I don't think teams were calling to try to trade him, but I think anybody on that Bengals team, you could have made a trade for. Like nobody's off them. Your team is that, but they don't have any, like, you know what I mean? Or another player I wanted to see was was Kareem Hunt. It's like, what could I get for him?
He hasn't...
Okay.
The thing is with Kareem Hunt, why do... Cleveland's... I said this last week on the podcast. Cleveland's lone bright spot this year has been Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
So now you're getting Kareem Hunt back, and it's like, what is he going to do for you?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying.
He's not... If he's... You know, when Kareem Hunt was playing his best, maybe he's better than Nick Chubb, but Nick Chubb's a top five running back in the NFL right now.
Well, when Kareem Hunt was playing, he was... Some people consider him the best.
Yeah.
So, listen, if you could have got him for a fourth...
Yeah, because his value's low, his suspension had that issue.
Cleveland doesn't need him.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, when he comes back, for what? Like, for every four runs that Nick Chubb gets...
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt will get one?
I don't know. Cleveland is... There it is.
Yeah, so I would have liked to see...
Talking about Cleveland just gets me all worked up and angry. But...
Yeah, I would have liked to see one of those trades happen, but... I mean... This trade deadline, it's just kind of left everybody unsatisfied.
The NFL is always a league where you don't really see... anytime there's a big trade or a star demands a trade in the NFL, the players go all up in arms and say, oh, that's an NBA-style move.
Yeah.
So already the NFL is not associated with that type of business. So was I shocked that Jamal Adams didn't get moved on trade deadline day? No.
Yeah.
But I can't remember a year where there wasn't even, like, a small name being moved.
Yeah. Also, the NFL, I think more than any other league, it's a copycat league. And if GMs look around and no one's doing anything, I think that makes them pretty hesitant to make any type of move. Just because they look around, no one made trades yesterday. So it's just like, oh, I guess I should stand pat too. And it's like, that's what happens. I mean, like, the names that were getting thrown out were, like, they were so many big fish players. Mm-hmm. It's like Jamal Adams. Like, where is that coming from?
Yeah, we didn't hear anything about that. We didn't even hear anything about Le'Veon Bell.
Exactly. That came out of nowhere.
It just comes out of nowhere that the Jets are looking. And I think that I got to watch Adam Gase for 3 years in Miami. And the way he conducts his business, the way he deals with players who maybe sometimes are more outspoken than you'd like them to be. He just doesn't stand for any of that. Yeah. He pretty much marched Jarvis Landry out of Miami.
Yeah.
He's a disaster. But anyways, we have to move on now. We don't have much time today on the podcast, unfortunately. Halloween on Thursday. I want to hear if you're dressing up.
Absolutely not.
Why not? You're not a...
I haven't dressed... I'm not a big Halloween guy. I think Halloween's the worst holiday.
It's not a...
Whatever, it's the worst whatever occasion, you want to call it. I don't... It's just dumb to me. Like I stopped dressing up maybe like 5-6 years ago. I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea.
I love how so many people are of the same mentality as you, but then we get into these professional athletes and they're going like, did you see DeAndre Hopkins' genie costume? Like they go all out.
Yeah.
I know LeBron James did Pennywise a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like
athletes are big into it. I don't know what's going on.
There's serious money forked into those costumes. Like, they're not just going to Party City and, picking out the third thing in the aisle just because. Yeah. Like, they're hiring people for this kind of stuff.
Like, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he painted his whole body blue.
Like, that's a whole... Usually, he did blue face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually, there's a whole, like, sort of... I guess every week in the NFL... They have a day off where they don't practice. Like, that's a whole day activity, what he just did.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But I thought it would be fun because it's Halloween. We do a bit of a list of some of the scariest players in the NFL. And by scariest players, I don't mean just, your obvious ones like, oh, Aaron Donald. He's so good.
They don't have to be good is what you're saying. Yeah, they can just be scary.
They can just be scary.
Yeah.
Like, for me, Jameis Winston in the shotgun, that's scary. Because I don't know what's going to happen. It could either be a 50-yard touchdown to Mike Evans.
Pick six.
Or it's a pick six.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what's a scary player? Luke Kuechly.
For what? I just told you. No obvious Aaron Donald.
No. But not for being good at football.
Yeah.
He just seems crazy. Like, when you watch him play, he just seems nuts.
I don't think he's changed. Like, I don't know if he... He just looks the exact same. I don't know if he ages since his rookie year.
He looks the exact same.
Like, his hair doesn't move. It doesn't change at all. And he's just the same player. I think he posts the exact same amount of tackles every year. He's I like that pick for scary player.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go scary player. This is a tough one. I like the Jameis Winston one, but I'm going to try to kind of go away from quarterbacks over here. And I'm going to say, or not really scariest player, but I'm going to go Green Bay Packers wide receiver situation.
Okay.
Kind of goes into the fact that Devontae Adams has turf toe and he can't play in the NFL.
Right.
But yeah, those guys that he's throwing to.
It's a bit of a mess right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I don't know where he picked them up from.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So moving on from scary players or scary situations, who would you be most scared of as a player if you were in like the doghouse? What coach would you be most scared of?
I want to say Bill. That's so obvious. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, oh, man.
I haven't answered you. I'm going to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you go first.
So when I thought of this, I was like, oh, it's Bill. But here's the thing. Bill Belichick, he's so smart that I feel like he'd get mad at you, but then he's going to teach you something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's gonna make you better. Gruden?
Oh, I totally forgot about John Gruden.
I think he would just yell at you, teach you nothing, and just like he's just mad at you.
Not also to the fact, tying in with the Halloween theme, John Gruden looks like
Chucky
the doll already.
Yeah, there you go.
So
that ties in.
And I just think he's a psycho.
Oh, yeah. He's crazy.
I just wish there was a way for John Gruden to coach on Sundays and still do Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Because his commentary was just, some of the words that he'd just pull out were second to none.
He's great.
Yeah.
Like, I hate him as a coach. I just think it's stupid that he's coaching. Like, once you go into the booth, like, you're done.
Tell that to Jason Witten.
Yeah, well, listen, I want him back on the field rather than in the booth.
Oh, he was terrible in the booth.
Oh, my God. He pulled a rabbit out of his head.
Yeah.
That's his most famous comment. He's one of the worst NFL commentators, or, like, color commentators.
He had such a big name, and he went from literally never doing it before to just straight to a primetime slot.
Yeah, that was weird. That's a weird jump. It's like, usually it's like, start by coming on as a guest, like on like radio talk shows.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, he didn't do anything.
No. But then there's Romo, who sort of the same transition.
I know, that's
true.
He's
the greatest, like, especially for like a young generation watching football. Like, I love Tony Romo commentating the games.
Yeah. That's the first, like, people our age think of Aikman.
Yeah.
As a commentator.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's
Romo was
like
the first guy that's like, I watched this guy play and now he's talking.
Yeah, there you go.
But that Monday night broadcast, that was a disaster. Remember Booger in the chair?
This week.
No. Last year, the Monday night broadcast.
Oh, yes.
Him, that was just a disaster, that whole broadcast. This guy was just going up and down the sideline blocking fans' view of the game in a chair. And the best was when it was cold and it was outside. It's like the poor guy is sitting there in a coat with a scarf, and he's just moving up and down the field. I don't know whose idea that was. But
I think the NFL has some serious questions to answer in general with Monday Night Football,
regardless
of the commentators. I don't know why. Obviously, they didn't know Big Ben was going to be injured when they scheduled this game, but I don't know why the Steelers and Dolphins are getting a time slot when everyone knew since December of last year when the Dolphins got eliminated that they'd be tanking this year.
Yeah.
But wow, we got way off topic. I'll answer quickly my scariest coach, and then we're going to have to wrap this thing up. I'm going to have to go Adam Gase. Do you remember his introductory press conference?
Yeah, the crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes. Imagine you dropping a pass in practice, and he doesn't even say anything to you, but he just looks at you with those eyes.
Yeah.
I'd crawl out of my skin.
He's definitely a coach that when he's mad at you, he just never speaks to you.
Yeah, never. You think he talked to Sam Darnold?
No.
For the past 2 weeks?
No.
They don't even know each other anymore.
You can tell. I guarantee he's a coach that hates confrontation.
Oh, yeah. He's just, I remember watching him in Miami and now in the Jets. He's done a lot of suspect stuff.
Yeah.
In the past few years, ever since he's been in the NFL.
You know who's also crazy? I just thought of this.
Who?
Greg Williams.
Oh, because he's had so many accusations on him.
Yeah.
About like telling his players to go out and injure other players.
Yeah.
Which I guess just like OBJ can just come out and say that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
No one's really been talking about it. I think that's also a concern.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, unfortunately, that's all we have for today. It had to be a quick sort of podcast. But we will be back next Wednesday for, a regular time thing, about an hour, what we did last week.
Yeah.
Actually, quickly before we go, this Sunday, we are doing a flag football tournament for Ronald McDonald House Charity. It's going to be very fun. Both me and Coburn will be playing in it. Give me your predicted stat line quickly. And producer, excuse me.
And producer Paul.
I left producer Paul Ogismondi out of there. So I'll let both of you guys go give your stat lines quickly.
My stat line? Okay, well, I think I may need to play a cornerback.
Yeah.
So I'll say we're playing 3 games minimum. So 6 picks. I expect two a game and like 12 to 15 pass breakups.
Okay, so
it's going to be a big day.
That's impressive. And Paul, we'll give you the mic quickly here.
Position fullback.
Fullback.
Only on the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 touchdowns.
Punch it in.
Three touchdowns. James Devlin 2.0, producer.
How about you, Puck? What do you think?
See, I don't know if I have what it takes to be placed out wide with a wide receiver physically.
How about a slot?
I might just take over at Q. I think maybe if we lose the first game, I'm going to have to build a bit of a narrative.
Quarterback like controversy. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe do like a Mariota Tannehill kind of thing.
Yeah.
I come in the last 2 games. I'm going to give you, I'll give you yards per game, 200 yards per game.
Okay.
2 touchdowns per game. I'm a Jimmy G guy.
Bold for 20-minute games.
I just get the win, man.
Okay.
So yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Quickly, wait, before we end, because I know like we need to go, but Super Bowl predictions, we're going to do one every week.
Every week,
Super Bowl prediction. Quick. What's your Super Bowl prediction?
Last week I said Pats and Saints.
Yeah.
This week I'm going to go Pats-Packers.
Pats-Packers.
Yeah,
okay.
That's my new Super Bowl prediction.
This week, Pats-Niners.
Niners. So you're just taking the two. You're boring is what you're saying.
I'm taking the one
taking
seeds.
The two undefeated teams.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. If you made it to the end, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, as well as, you know, rate us and like us on YouTube. But thank you very much, and we will see you next Wednesday. Signing off.
Take it easy.